This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 18th of December, 1952. The title of this lecture is How to Talk to Friends About Scientology. This lecture is 59 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
This is the last evening lecture of the lecture series, December the 18th, first hour. I want to talk to you something about how you talk to people about Scientology. We've been just getting along fine here on an informal basis. We just keep on. The conviction which you are trying to carry is a conviction of action. It is not a conviction of reason. And as such, you actually need a little preparation. Not on the catechism basis that they give in some of the cults on this line, whereby anybody that asks you anything, then they have the pat answer for. Let's go at it on a reverse vector again. There's a lot of people tackle a guy on anything that anyone knows. What is invalidation? Invalidation, in actuality, is the impingement of force. That's invalidation. The lowest level a person can get on the tone scale is not wanting to criticize, not wanting to be critical. That's as low as a person really can get, is not wanting to be critical. Because criticism builds right on up into invalidation, and that's a gradient scale. And it goes from criticism on the aberrated or stimulus response thought level, fades on in to emotional reaction, counter-emotion, to somebody's activities, and goes right straight to the next point of the gradient scale, which is counter-effort. Now, there's your three levels, and of course, they come up from that. As a person withdraws from force, he goes down from the application of force into not wanting to apply the force, so he applies emotion, and not wanting to apply that, so he applies an aberrated stimulus response thought, and then not wanting to apply the stimulus response thought, he gets into a much more involved situation than you would normally suppose. We've got here a question which you probably need in order to settle some of this in your own mind, and that's simply here on this graph. We have here our 20.0, it's been days since I used one of those, and here's down here 0.0, and let's take a look here, and we find this is an action level in that area, somewhere around here, 20, 22. Now, action can carry with it, but does not necessarily carry with it, the delivery of force. But it certainly carries with it the delivery of effort of one sort or another, but it's the type of effort that you wouldn't ordinarily recognize as effort because it's in such wide space and delivered so regulatedly that it is very closely monitored and activated effort. So you don't call that effort as the effort band as we know it, but that's the harmonic, an upper harmonic of the effort band, or you could say that work and matter themselves are the lower harmonic of this, the actual action band or effort band. Action becomes solider and solider and solider and eventually becomes matter. So let's take a look at this center band and let's plot three things which you should know of pretty well in thought, emotion, and effort and find out where they lie here. And this actually is an effort band. Now, let's take a look above this. I won't bother to put a number on it because that number is just a meaning is arbitrary. But this next line up here, when I say above effort, is what? And the next line up above this is what? Way up here above 40. This is thought then. Okay? Now, you never saw those words on that tone scale before in that order. Because that sensation band is actually emotion. That's high-toned emotion. High-toned emotion is sensation. Lower down, it's sort of emotional band, it's sort of an effort emotion. Messy, very messy. Now, this is very airy. You're up here around space. That thought band up there is postulates. A little bit lower than that, we have agreements. Or maybe we've never quite looked at it this way before. Remember what I said about DEI as being a harmonic, DEI being cycles within cycles? Well, this cycles within cycles theory is actually the same theory as harmonics. And you want to know where harmonics come from in radio, music, piano, music, where they come from in electronic waves of any kind, sound or anything of the sort, you look at the cycle within the cycle. There's the grand cycle of the whole band, the whole change, and then there's these intermediate cycles. DEI was a little piece of the big DEI scale. Desire and force and inhibit. All right, now let's go down here and find out, now that we've gone to effort, let's go to something else. And let's get down below this. We'll get, while we're really in here now, just below this, we get emotional and sensation. Up here it's kind of enjoyable. Down here you get an emotional sensation. What do you get under that? You get an effort band. And what do you get under that effort band? You get what you've been calling a very high level emotion, and right in that strata there you get about the highest level of reason that man's attained. And here again, we have thought. And I suppose this could be plotted out. I'm not giving you all the harmonics here by a long way. And effort, emotion. Now let's have thought again. Or let's have effort again. Thought doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter whether we have these things on. It's just going to be this cycle. You take chunks of this cycle and either accurately locate which one of the three that you're plotting at that time or not, the case may be. Could be all the efforts on this tone scale. And that could be effort, 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 effort. What were all these efforts? Or it could be emotion, 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 emotion. What were all those? You've got a name for practically every one of them. Sensation, high sensation, exhilaration, is enthusiasm on a lower part on the band. And boredom is actually a lower harmonic of being calm. Very low harmonic. Misty. And we get down here, and we have found, again, maybe these three. When we get way down here, we get heavy effort again. Now, actually, because we've been studying this from the viewpoint of Homo sapiens, zero-zero effort area, that's not zero-zero effort, but just in that area, effort, emotion, thought. Now, we've gotten down here, and we get a heavy band. Oh boy, these bands really get thin. They really get awfully close together. They just get packed tight right down at the bottom. I'll give you a little section, some sort of idea over here on the 0-0 of the bands as they would get together there. There'd just be so many together in the area, it'd just be completely black. They'd be repeating themselves so often and so close together. Here is your geometric progression at work. It starts up from way down below there, and matter starts in from the top, wide, less wide, closer together, and packed right on down tight. A piece of matter is actually thought, effort, and emotion all at one at the same time. It's a new thought to you, maybe. It'll be less of a new thought when you pick up matter sometime and you can feel what it has to think. Of course, it doesn't have any think in it at all, except it's a sort of a solidified thought. It just has that appeal value to it. For instance, this ashtray has a prettied up thought in it. It doesn't say ashtray. It's saying pretty piece of pottery. Whoever made it, and so on, this is the thought that went into it, pretty piece of pottery. And yet, it can exert an effort, can't it, if you direct it? And it can
do all sorts of things. And it has an emotion. That's very strange. It has an emotion, something like agony.
That's very weird. It has an actual emotion. Well, anyhow,
you think I'm kidding. You ought to try that sometime. You ought to ask a piece of matter now. What emotion? You don't go nutty on this. Ask a piece of matter sometime. What thought is in you? What effort are you capable of? And what emotion do you express? It'll sometimes be very startling to you what a clear-cut certainty of answer there is sitting there under your gaze. Because you're dealing with a piece of mess universe that originally came out as a thought, and a thinkingness, and a beingness, and an emotionalness, and all these other things. Well, as things condense, these bands get closer and closer together, and closer and closer together, and closer and closer together, until all of a sudden you go, now, it's very amazing to pick up a cannonball, a small cannonball of some sort, and I was lying on a battlefield. It's still thinking the same thought, if you can call that thinking. But it was more or less made of it. Why? Its present time is always, but always at the bottom of the scale. You get very quiet when I mention this to you, but there's a very funny thing about this. It's the fact, you see, you are putting into something the emotion which it expresses, but you are also capable of contacting the agreement which brought it into beingness. You understand this a lot more. We're clarifying an awful lot of things that man has felt that he felt and thought that he heard and tried to pin certainties onto them. Well, there's no use trying to pin a certainty onto this stuff. It's just funny or amusing. When anything gets down from clear up here above 40.0, this takes some electrons running through a line. And once upon a time, somebody said, let there be light. And you've got an electron running through the line. And your engineer comes along and he fools around with this electron going through the line. What's it got to say about it? It's got something to say about it. It's still there. It's still a piece of beingness that it once was. And it's still banging around in the material universe. And here he is, and somebody else can take him and shoot him down the line, put him down a piece of copper wire one way or the other. But it's not a him. It's not a personality. It isn't a Phaeton that's decayed. Although it's very, very peculiar. You get way down small and try to look at things of this order of magnitude, and they apparently have a sort of aliveness to them. Fascinating to behold. But it's held together by a thought, basically. And that thought, in impinging in various postulated spaces, condenses. Because the space condenses, and the thought made space for the existence, and therefore you've got a condensation of beingness, which becomes a condensation, and in this area here, the center, you've got a condensation of action, so you have considerable activity taking place. You have enormous volatility of elements. The volatility of elements, regardless of temperature or anything of the sort, would take place along that 20 level. And then you got harder and solider and solider, and you got energy, but you can get a preclearing apathy that's actually gleeful. And that's the glee of insanity. He's an apathy about doing anything. He's really just practically right there on the verge of tears. Any minute. And what's he do? He cackles and screams with laughter. Or something. So you just got that down further and further and further, and all of a sudden, from this effort called apathy, we're down lower on the band, lower on the band, lower on the band. You get some PC, and you can put your foot against him. You could actually almost put your messed hand against the man's ridges and give him a shove when he walks in the door. You almost can do that. I mean, he's that far out, and he's that hard and that solid. Well, you get way down, you compress it too tight, you got plutonium, you get boom. New thought. Now, you could put it on a circular pattern and say, from that came all new thoughts. No.
it's just under too much stress because, boy, there's nothing that makes mess like plutonium. It makes more mess into N-mest in less time than any other known element. Well, so we've got these bands tight packed down together here. Now, when you speak of counter effort, do you mean a bust in the jaw? There's counter effort, bust in the jaw. Down in this band here someplace. That's invalidation by force. Or do you mean this? Highly measured, terrifically competent, enormously controlled and regulated delivery of force as an impact. That's still invalidation. Boy, there's nothing like an invalidation which is done with force and extreme competence. Your fellows get out there on the football field and that sort of thing. When they've been beaten by a team that is enormously skilled, oh, do they feel silly. Why, it's invalidation. Measured force. But it isn't in terms of, well, we've gotten down to a point where we've all run out of ideas, so we'll mash each other's bodies up. That's irrational. Still a game up here. All right, let's take, what's a sensation, emotion? Here. That's very, very high-toned stuff. For Homo sapiens, terrific exhilaration, so on. Now let's look down here at effort on that band. Well, that would be a light feather touch as far as that's concerned, but it would again be terrifically competent. Very competent. And as a man goes down tone scale, he begins to do things like regret his own competence because it delivers too many overt acts. It hurts them to be competent, so he goes on down the line. So we get into this band down here. Emotion. Well, that's probably the emotion that most emotional band that most people use, listen to the theater. Why, most people, when they get really high toned, they probably would get up that high on sensation. Maybe that's as high as sex goes. This band here is just a second emotional band above zero. Well, way down here at the bottom, of course, where they've got that black line, all those things are more or less packed tight together. No differentiation, all identification, thought, emotion, and effort all become the same thing. Well, what's criticism? Of course, if a fellow's fencing and he crosses foils with an expert, and that expert just undoes the buckles of his mask or something of the sort with the button, meanwhile, this fellow is fencing like mad, trying to hold off the expert, and the expert simply unbuckles his mask and takes it off and starts to unravel his fencing sweater. Sound to me like that'd be a little critical, wouldn't it? So we get down here. There'd be any level of that, as you could say, it's a criticism. Well, invalidation, we think, is to ignore, but to meet with force could also be invalidation. So the two kinds of invalidations. Validation would be the positive thing. There's always a third little thing lurking around in any of this material. It's called the null point. You'll see that on the cycle of action, you're always running into the null. The cycle of action has, at its exact center, conservation. Start, increase, no change, decrease, stop. That really is the cycle of action. There's a complete maybe right in the middle of the cycle of action. You see why that would be. It'd be the null point between increase and decrease. It would be the null point between growing and decaying. There's a plateau in there where something hits. Why is it a plateau? It's an effort to maintain the state. And, of course, that requires a maybe. The way you maintain the state is to have a maybe. And if you get somebody wanting to really act slow, just throw a maybe into his computer, and he'll maintain the state all right. You can get almost anybody stopped if you completely balance his computer. You get no action. And you get an apparent stop, which is called conservation. We want these woods for a long time. Therefore, they are not to be destroyed. Therefore, we're very careful that we let nothing decay in them. And we're careful what we let grow in them. And so we monitor those two things, and we get the center of the band, the maybe between growth and decay, which is conservation. We'll have the woods for a long time. So that's null, no action. That's why 20, as calling 20 an action ban, is wrong and has been consistently wrong. But it hasn't been wrong so much as just careless. Actually, the action bans come up to their heaviest competence down around 10 and 30. But why strain everybody? One around 10 is fast action in terms of decay. And the one up around 30 is fast action in terms of growth and increase. But let's call it all an action ban. You see, we can call this that because we have our internal cycle of the grand cycle. It's all right. You'd think it was awfully funny if I kept putting in to the middle of it, conserve. Here we have start, and at the end we have stop, and in the middle of it we put conserve. It would be foisting off on you the impression that there wasn't anything we could do about it. Start and stop and conserve are all stop. They really are. They're all stop. One comes from stop. You have to go from stop to get a start. And so Bjorn has to go to stop to get a stop, and in order to conserve, he merely balances, and that stops. If you get the idea of a fulcrum sitting up here, in the middle it would be just carefully balanced, like that. And we tipped it. Over she'd go. But that can be tipped. The stop at the end and the start at the end, once you start that thing, boy, it's hell to stop. Do this test on a preclear someday. Get the idea of starting something, some preclear that doesn't have three-dimensional vision. Try it now, somebody who isn't satisfied with the three-dimensionalism of his vision. Let's get a picture and get the idea of trying to start it. Now try to change it. Now let's stop it. If you do that occasionally, you notice something manifestation. What manifestation do you notice? Anybody get that? You work that every once in a while, you'd see something happen there. Did you get anything on that? You didn't really try to start something. Oh, you had to push it to start it. We're already into the effort band. Well, let's get a look at something you started once. Make it a little more real to you. Get a look at something you started. Notice the dimensions in it. Get the visio on something you started and notice the dimensions in it. How are the dimensions in that visio? Operating from space down when you do that. What dimensions? Anybody get any dimensions in that visio of starting?
A depth.
You got a depth. That's all we're looking for.
Three dimensions.
You got three dimensions.
Yeah.
That's correct. Well, that's right. Now look at a time when you stop something.
Flattens down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, of course, start is up at 40.0, and that's space. You've been in that cycle of action, why it goes that way? We're not dealing with anything strange or peculiar. All right. Now, these flows go as directed. Up here, these are as directed. And these flows down here tend to go opposite to as directed. They go opposite below 20.0, and that's why we keep using this 20.0, is it is the null point between plus and minus. This is positive. A fellow makes a postulate anywhere in that area, you get it carried out.
and this is minus the chances of him getting something carried out on a postulate in this area are just reverse, below 20.0. Fellow says, now I am going to grow up and be a good boy. So he winds up as a gangster. He never quite figures out why this is. One starts in saying, now I'm going to give up smoking. Oh, boy. How can he give up smoking? He says he's going to give up smoking. It's obvious the fellow's homo sapiens, isn't he? Well, how can he ever be on a positive line? Impossible for him to be. So the best way in the world for this individual to go on smoking and practically ruin himself is to try to give up smoking. I think the cigarette companies have found this out empirically and actually go around trying to coax people to give up smoking. If you had the thought, now I've got to smoke, and would just consistently and continually tell yourself that you had to smoke, and make yourself smoke and buy several brands of cigarettes, and every time you found a cigarette was not in your hand, be sure and put one in your hand and just make yourself have a cigarette, you've started to operate from way up on the band. Well, because you know, and you can operate from knowingness, and you can handle flows if you know what they consist of. You don't have to be completely supine just because they exist. As I say, the fellow, he knows he's running on a reversal on colors. So he says to himself, well, all right, now let's see. I couldn't get it when I said try to get green. Let's see. I'll try not to get green. I'll get green. That's right. And he does, and he looks at the pretty green, and he says, well, I guess I can handle that. Flows are the big trick, and they clip right out. I mean, very fast. It doesn't take long at all for a flow to get knocked off. So it goes on the long run, opposite is directed. Here's where you get down here more than up there. You get that up there, too. Here you act on the upper part of the band, you act to bring about a good result, and what do you get? You get the lower part of the band. What a trick. Because what starts up in the upper part of the band will finish off a cycle of action. That goes into the lower part of the band, and of course that goes into opposite polarities and flows. Decay is everything going the wrong way when it should go the right way. Don't ever forget, in 20.00, that is decay. That is on the way out. If you had to go up straight up the messed universe line, following the agreements of the messed universe 100% and not paralleling them with your own universe line, oh boy, would you ever dig out of this pile? I'm afraid not. Why is this it's just too booby-trapped with this opposite flow deal? You say, I want to be clear, so you knock off being audited. Just as silly as that. Well, when we look at this, we see the counter-emotion, counter-effort, gets more oppositer and gets more and more negative the lower we go on. Till we get up here. Boy, is this up here where we've got this line, is that positive? Man, that's really positive. And down here, brother, is that really negative? Up above the level of 40.0, when you say spit, they spit, believe me. And down below the level of 40.0, when you say spit, boy, they don't spit, believe me. Fact. So you go around and you tell somebody, okay, Scientology, you say, is very fine, and we've been working on this, and we're really trying to do something about it. Maybe we can do something here back. And they say, nothing can be done for my back, of course. You practically have to take over ownership, as you would a piece of mess, before you can do anything about it. You get pre-clears down to the bottom of that scale, you practically have to slide in behind the wheel to get them rolling. They're like an automobile. They don't even have self-starters. Sometimes you have to get out and crank. But the point is that there you have your layout of why you try to sell something. It is just fabulous that advertising works. Just fabulous that it works. But why does it work?
You ever ask yourself that? Why does advertising work? There's just one thing in the advertising sign that works. You could put in a big dissertation. You could say Buick cars are mounted on a something or other, and Jaguars have so much pounds per horsepower, and they're made on a so on differentials, and they travel at such and such a speed, and they do this, and they do that, and so on. And you could have this nice little dissertation on print. Nobody give a damn whether you own one or not. But if you put a picture of one, that's an aesthetic. And the higher you go and the tinier you get on the wavelength, the less oppositeness of reaction you get. So aesthetics show a tendency to come out in the pure rather than in the negative. And they have much less negative response contact than positive. So if you do something very aesthetically, you're more liable to get some sort of an agreement on it. If people in this field were all to dress up in white gowns with purple sandals, and we had a great big monastery sitting on top of the hill someplace, and olive groves and all that sort of thing, everybody would go by and they'd say, that's where Scientology is. That's right. That's all right. Just be fine. Oh, that's one of those Scientologists now. Look at that. So don't get too close to him. He's liable to put a curse on you. And that's right. That's the way it'd roll. But there's the aesthetic. As a matter of fact, it's well within your choice to know about that. As opposed to the aesthetic, here's another answer. And that's to use the effort bent. Oh, you don't like Scientology, huh? Pow! But have you got any reason in this lower band here? You know, there are probably not more than 30,000 people, if that, in the United States that could probably eat this stuff up. Are you aware of that fact? That's very strange for me to say that. Go ahead and feel lonesome. You haven't taken a good look. Long time. You've taken a look at your immediate circle of friends, something like that. The truth is, that the intellectuals of the entire world, by a survey, which was rather competently done, by the way, are sort of plotted in a pyramid of what are the IQs of people on Earth. This poor guy who gets out of college and decides he has to work hard to succeed, what a boob. He doesn't have to work at all to succeed. There is just nothing to it. He can talk, can't he? I mean, he can say, please pass the bar, can't he? He knows how to wear a tie and a coat, doesn't he? He's set. He's the upper crust. He is. That's no kidding. Regardless of what state he's supposed to be in, a survey of all of this demonstrated that at any one time on Earth, there were not more than about 10,000 people of a caliber that was sufficient to do a little steering or leading. And it wasn't a very high IQ, and it doesn't flatter you very much. It isn't up there around Army Alpha 212 as you'd think it is. Not at all. There's only about 10,000 of them, really. Below that level, you have something in the neighborhood of about 100,000 or 150,000, 200,000 people who have a competence of assimilation. That's about all. You can count then on those people directing others or leading them. And if you were experienced on it and you really did a good job, it's sort of like, I don't know, like patting kids on the head. I'm not being patronizing. I mean, that's the successful attitude when it comes to those people. We get to share those in the United States, and we carve that down, we find out a handful, just a handful of people in the United States supported by another triple handful of people in the United States out of 150 million. If you have a savage enough truth or a beautiful enough truth, they can go through, but don't ever try to get a reasonable enough truth, because you won't ever talk to reason. If perhaps you talked to people, demonstrated to them, worked with them very hard, showed them very hard, over a long period of time, quite convincing, demonstrated a lot to them, you would appeal to them on a level of reason. But my God, do you know what you would have done if you did that? But you would have done something very interesting. By education, you would have kicked them upscale. The weapon was in your own hands at the time you were talking. By that, I mean you've got a reasonability. Now, let's not be snide or put this into the category of we're all so smart and they're all so dumb. I'm telling you something that's very nakedly true, that has a workability as I've worked it out. We have, when we get down to this business, if you're trying to tell people on the standpoint of reason, a critique of pure reason would be a critique of this minus sign down here on this chart. You've got a negative flaw. So, when you try to tell people, look, we know something to make you a lot happier and better, and you can climb out of this one. You're just a handful. Most of you have been pitching in this league for a couple of years. Strange, isn't it? Strange you're not an auditorium full. You'll never be an auditorium full. There aren't that many. That's all there is to it. There just aren't. You could go out and have vases fly off the immediate part of a stage and pile them for people. You can also dress up Annie Oakley in a beautiful white hat with a beautiful cowboy skirt and have her stand in the saddle and ride around the arena and do the same thing with a shotgun and get the same crowd. You think I'm kidding you? It's the same line. So therefore, you have two levels of appeal which are quite direct, and quite direct indeed, is you just go ahead and you work. You don't try to tell anybody anything beyond perhaps you will intimate to them once in a while that you might be able to do something for them. But you could intimate that, for God's sakes, on an aesthetic. An aesthetic or a completely false sympathy line. Oh, you poor fellow. He won't miss the irony. I mean, he won't hit it. He doesn't know. You're just saying all-knowingness to everybody around you, and you get in trouble because they're not all-knowing. You're not going to put this postulate into the line. You're not going to say, well, you, here you are. You know all about this, and you know that sympathy could kill a man without half trying. Oh, no. He wouldn't believe it. Yeah, I've seen these sympathetic guys, he'd say, and so on, and so on. And, you know, I do get awfully tired, he'll say. Give me some more cohesiveness of matter so that I can solidify further and go down a little bit further on the tone scale. He will. You just sit there and you say, you poor fellow, oh, yes, I'm sure of that. That tells you, way up there at the top of the tone scale, the first pretense is it's not all pretense. And that's the first thing a fellow learns. The first pretense is to pretend that it's not all pretense. Guy starts selling himself then, selling himself. You cannot have a game unless you pretend there's a game. And then if you say the game is serious and the game is all and we're not pretending anymore and therefore this is not a game, oh boy, how grim can we get? Now you say we have to be absolutely truthful and sincere, and sincerity is the main thing, and truthfulness is the main thing. Don't lie to anybody, and never done, and you'll get ahead. You brother, you sure will. You'll get ahead right on that cycle of action, right towards zero. Did you notice one day, I think, was... Where is he? Yeah, there he is. Yeah. He told me up here on the stand, he couldn't tell me a lie. Well, that isn't because of me. It's just because he's got to believe that the mess universe is that way. You know, you'll find PCs are like this. It's a trap not being able to prevaricate. Don't have to have a reason to prevaricate. It's when people have to have a reason to prevaricate that it becomes lying. Before that time, it's just ornamenting. You say, you know, I was downtown the other day, and there's this yellow taxi there, and I started to step into this yellow taxi. Now, the son of a gun, if there wasn't a big eight sitting in the back of a smoking cigar, and I closed the door and walked down the street. This makes life more colorful. You would be surprised what it would do for you if you suddenly threw one of those in every once in a while. The finest way in the world people can put you up tone scale is to find out that you're lying. Yeah, you go around being afraid you'll be found out you're lying. I made it pretty clear one day. I just gave him one process only. For once in a while, I'll hand out a process, some pretty clear that I don't want to process very long. I just give him a couple of straight wire questions. I've only got maybe 2 minutes. And I say, now look, you say, what's your trouble? Oh, well now look, I want you to go out and tell somebody a lie so they will find out that you were lying. And then do that several times and tell it in such a way that they can discover you're lying. This guy says, oh, no. I said, well, go ahead, do that. I'll do it if you say so. Okay. Now we're all set. He went out and he did it. He cracked his case, of course. He was so afraid people would find out the truth, that is to say that he was lying, that he wouldn't lie, and so he had to assign everything as truth, and he was having a really rough time with the whole deal. All he had to do was tell somebody a lie so they'd find it out, and then, of course, what did he expect would happen? The walls would sort of start to creak, you see, and he could brace himself because this person was bound to do what? Criticize him. Criticize him. When they do criticism artistically, they do it with a club. So he's afraid of being hurt, afraid of having his space collapsed around him, and afraid of becoming matter. And therefore, he's afraid of criticism because he has it identified with force, which it is. Criticism is the shadow of force. And the threat of force, well, I want to criticize you because I wouldn't want you to get into a lot of trouble doing something or other. And I don't mean to be critical of your driving, but if someday they act like they're trying to prevent you from being hurt all the time or being upset or losing heavily, and that's the reason for criticism, isn't it? Only what they're really doing is they don't for a moment suppose that they are really helping you. They really don't suppose this. They're just indulging themselves one way or the other. A little pretense going on. The next thing you know, why, they've got you practically destroyed. If you're afraid of being hurt physically, you'll be afraid of being criticized. The fellow goes out and he tells somebody, he says, well, I just saw your wife. I just saw your wife outside the door. The guy rushes down to find out what his wife's doing there, comes back, and the whole project was a failure because the fellow figured it was a practical joke and they're allowable. This fellow had to really get down and figure quite a bit to find out finally how to tell a lie so that he'd be found out. And it's occupied his mind so much he didn't have any time to think about his neuroses or anything. He finally made the grade. He called up and said that a bill had been paid. And, of course, that could be found out. And he said it very straight-facedly, and he kept insisting from there on the bill had been paid. And he insisted that the check was there and it had arrived, that he had the receipt, and he just went on with a complete show about the bill being paid.
fully expecting any moment to go mad himself and discover that he didn't know whether it had been paid or not. Now, what do you know? His level of certainty on the fact he was lying got better and better and better, and he began to enjoy it and so forth. So he started calling up all sorts of people and telling him he paid them. And his credit got much better. Anybody'd loan him money. If you want to get a horrible reputation or get killed, you just go around sincerely and honestly helping people. If you want to know who's helping people in this world, go around and find out who's just on the verge of being killed. Look it over. It's fascinating. It's, of course, reverse vector. Well, all this adds up to the fact that if you go around asking society for a license to survive, and you keep on telling them, now look, you're so-and-so and so-and-so, and we got a whole track, you really lived before, and we really would be amazed about the whole thing, and so on and so on and so on and so on and so on. Oh, no, not under any circumstances. Please, 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 for my sake, don't do that. I have tried to do what I could in this subject, and I've tried to square it around. I'm actually working from a fairly high level on the operation, Len. I expect to see it go right, but I want to see it applied. Applied here to Homo sapiens pretty well, because I know he can be dug out. But you can't dig him out on a cross flow. No, sir, because every time you pull him up, he's going to go down. You're going to pull him up in 1 inch, he's going to go down 6 inches. That's because he's so sure that a lie is terrible and that pretense is the most horrible thing. He's got to have the truth, and the only truth he'll assume is that truth which is fed to him on his level of the tone band, which is kill, fear, die, fade, obey. Great. Big code. He has to run on. So that's the truth he buys. You'll have to sell him on a reverse vector by not selling him at all. You go around and say to him, now, this Scientology is really all right. But I tell you, I can just see some of you now sitting in a rather arty living room, some studio apartment or something, that's talking to these two people, and they're an attorney's wife or something like that. And they're nice people. They've always looked bright to you. And I can see these people, and they're saying, but that's perfectly incredible. It's mysticism. I never thought you were a mystic or that you'd go in for that sort of thing. I can just see you earnestly and pleadingly saying, please give me a license to survive. Please give me a license to survive. Please. They mentioned, I hear you mixed up with that new cult. You tell them, it's the biggest cult. It's the biggest cult in the world today. And it's very funny because you see it doesn't work. The fellow says, what? And you say, it's very funny, but Scientology just doesn't work, that's all. And if you want to tell him anything, you want to hang it on somebody and say it's somebody's fault, you just tell him, if Ron heard me tell you that it would help your back, he'd probably be very upset. But confidentially, the truth of the matter is, it will. Want to blame somebody, name's yours. My name anyhow. But there's your answer. Now, don't be surprised. I probably shouldn't put this on the tape. But don't be surprised if you were to find all sorts of people springing up around insisting, it's bad, it works. So, I don't be too amazed. But don't you be amazed if you get a level of ostracism on the basis of trying to plead its cause or case. It doesn't need a case pled. Nobody is going to be able to execute it. It can't be shot. Nothing can happen to it. That is the truth. It has the thickest armor plate in the world. Zero space. It's an idea. There's no reason in your being defensive about it in any category. And the truth of the matter is that if you tried hard, you could actually sell people on Scientology. They would just get squirrely if you never talked any other way than it didn't work. Just look at them and it doesn't work. Not as a come on, so they'll say, well, never seize on to it so it becomes a come on. I'm not supposed to tell you that this will fix up your back. It probably wouldn't. It very often kills people. Do you know, confidentially, I don't know why I got mixed up in this, because I've never been in such a quite a cold-blooded atmosphere, but do you know that the Hubbard Foundation at 237 North 16th Street there is right next door to what? You can tell them, of course, I don't mean to infer that anybody took that address next to that mortuary on purpose. And don't get wrong, the impression I was trying not to tell you that. And if you just follow that up real close and so forth, and then say, of course, I'm kidding you. This is their teeth on it. Wrong. Now, somebody said to you, oh, you're pretty clear, huh? I understand your theory clear. It's fine. Why don't you do so and so and so and so and prove this? You could say, who told you I was a theta clear? I want to know. Was it some member of the foundation or somebody like that? Was another auditor? It wasn't another auditor, was it? Tell me. So you've just been insulted beyond insult. Just reverse your emotional vector on the whole deal. And they'll have terrific reasons then to believe why they've got to be scared to death of you. Now, another thing, in view of the fact that this information is absolutely wide open, it obviously can't be any good. If I were you, I'd fix up a dummy. Take a book or something of the sort and write on the face of it the Black Book of Scientology or something of the sort, and band it very tightly so it's hard to open. And if people come around, they want to have a snide smile on their face, something like that, because of what you're doing. Make a point of having it on the desk and suddenly kicking it into the desk door and slam the desk door real quick and say, hello, Joe. Do it with a perfectly straight face. He'll feel sort of creepy about the whole thing. The reason he'll feel creepy is a very, very good reason why he'll feel creepy. There's a terrific reason why. It's because he basically knows that anybody that starts on this track becomes excessively dangerous. That's true. It doesn't matter how stupid he's acting, there is some kind of an echoing memory lost back of all that automaticity that's saying, oh boy, no, no, no. I was in an area once, there was a Thetan in the area, and I killed this deer in this forest, and oh Lord, that was a horriblest past death I think I have. And he'll be saying, of course, there's no such thing. Not true. Thetans are bad people to have around if they're bad people. Now, furthermore, you don't take any responsibility for anything that you own beyond the level of just having it all anyway. I mean, there's no sense in going around wondering whether or not you have responsibility, don't have responsibility, or whether you took responsibility or didn't take responsibility. This is pointless. You're thinking about blame. You're doing that. No, you just, do you know how to take responsibility for everything? Is go out someday, go on up to the top of one of the taller buildings or something of the sort, or get out of your head and take a look at the town. And just see how your town's coming out here. Well, I guess you're doing all right now. Okay. Just make a postulate like that once in a while. Very funny. You probably come down into that, walk 10 feet down the line, and have some man ask you if he can spit on the sidewalk. Now, I'd like to point out, really, the fact of
trying to tell people about Scientology. There are some texts, the professional course texts and so forth. The British edition of Self-Analysis will be available, and that says Dianetics, I know. Self-Analysis and Dianetics is the title of it. Yeah, but that's fine. It'll do them a lot of good. Won't worry them any. And I had it read by several people. Boy, were they stupid people I picked. I picked the most stupid people I could pick. And I wrote that and rewrote that text on the description of it until every one of them knew what I was talking about and agreed with it. And they were fine. That's right. That's a good book. And you go around the place, you say, well, I found out more from that book than any other book. We're trying to make that book available to auditors cheap. So they don't have to do a lot of explaining. They don't ever bother explaining. They say, what's this business about energy units? And you get it out of your head and everything else. And you say, who's been telling you about that? And they say, oh, it was all over the place. It was in Loss of Time magazine. And, and you say, well, it was in that. But nobody's been talking to you about it, have they? And they say, no. You say, you're sure? No. Well, all right. Close the conversation. And then don't be so anxious to see a reaction. The only reason a guy can't pull this stuff off smoothly is because he's so anxious to see a reaction on the part of other people. And their anxiety is not to show one. You let them go home and sweat. They sweat. You have yourself a situation where you just rush the game like a poker player. I mean, he's too anxious to find out what the other fellow's cards are. He just can't wait. Oh, no, that's a bad way to play the game. That person, they toss it off, and they appear to be very indifferent about it. And if you were to look inside their heads, you'd see this festering, seething mass. That's their concern about this whole thing. They're sitting there saying blandly, would you have another cup of tea, my dear? And being very calm about this whole thing. They're not. If you see somebody nailed to the top of the Empire State Building flagpost with a huge, beautiful silken banner flopping down around the inert body or something like that. Why, don't be too surprised or amazed. He'll be in a good cause. He was a member of the Better Dead Club or something of the sort. But the banner would say, Scientology doesn't work. And that would be the byword. And that is, by the way, what I tell people. They say, oh, you've got a pitch going or something like that. No, no, I said, we haven't got a pitch going or anything like that. Don't let them put it in that line. It's just the fact that you've got to have something around that doesn't function at all. Then all the shoulders come up, and they start looking at you rather peculiarly. And you say, well, it doesn't work. It really doesn't. There's no use getting upset about it. It doesn't. The guy says, ah. Bad stuff. So I advise to you very well that line of tactic, because you'll knock a lot of guys in the head. Once in a while, when you feel yourself being trapped, remember that chart. And just reverse the vector on somebody. It works really every time, even if you don't see the reaction instantly. Let's take a break.